Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, the phenomenon that is Donald Trump. My guest is Michael D'Antonio. He is the author of the book Never Enough, Donald Trump and the Pursuit of Success. This is the second of a two-part interview. The first part we heard about Trump and the process of writing the book. Today we'll continue with, how did Trump like that book? So did you? Was there ever any reaction from Trump when the book came out?
Not a peep. And that's very unusual. But, you know, I was helped in a way. I mean, I would have preferred he make a big stink about it and draw more attention to the
book. Oh, of course. Sells more books.
But it's scrupulously fair. You know, the critics on the left have said, you know, oh, I wish he had gone after him more. And, of course, I get trolled online by the right all the time. But it's very down the middle. I give him credit for everything that he accomplished. But in the end, I had to talk about him as a really unique and sometimes terrifying creature. You know, he's so representative of the narcissism and materialism and excess that kind of increased with every year that Donald has lived, that he's like a walking advertisement for everything that's wrong in our culture. But none of it is inaccurate. You know, I have everything pretty well buttoned up, so even if you were to sue, I think it would be kind of folly.
So one question I have for you, Michael, is did you ever consult like a psychiatrist of any kind just to ask about the weird, whatever Donald Trump is, it's got to be under some DSM, under narcissism or something.
Well, sure. And I did speak with mental health professionals about what I saw, because he is such an extreme figure. But I didn't need really too much help because he actually appears in a lot of psychological texts as an example.
Really?
This is absolutely true. If you do a little search of his name and places where he's appeared in books, several books that are about narcissism use him as a key figure and as a perfect example of narcissistic traits. But the curious thing about all this is that during Donald's lifetime, and this has happened most recently, psychiatry has begun to move away from considering narcissism a pathology. It's actually under consideration for removal from the books because it's a functional trait in a mediated society. So when we are all online posting on Facebook or sending out tweets, it's a successful thing to do. It's almost like being good at carpentry or some other skill where you can turn that into a benefit for yourself. So yeah, he does reflect a lot of these traits. He's lacking in empathy. He certainly calls attention to himself at every turn. But that's what everybody's doing nowadays. So he may just be leading a trend rather than
maybe
demonstrating something awful. I mean, I think it's awful, but I'm a 60-year-old guy, and people who are very young who only know him as a reality TV show host may not see anything that's troublesome.
Apparently not. Well, I'm curious. You know, I'm wondering. You made me think that I interviewed a number of years ago the head of the former head of the CIA psychiatric profile unit. You know, the guy who would do psychiatric profiles of Kim Il Sung and you know. And I'm curious. I'm wondering if any of those foreign countries are doing, you know, Donald's profile right now, just to see what they'd get. But that's just a muse on my part.
Well, I'm sure they are, and I've had correspondents from about a dozen different countries come to my house.
Really?
To ask me about this guy. Yes. I mean, the Korean National Broadcasting Service was here yesterday. They're all looking at this phenomenon and wondering what it means and press me to explain him. And I do think there are seeds of what we see today in Donald's childhood. You know, everybody is the product of both nature and nurture, and he was raised in a family that demanded he perform at the highest levels at all time. When he was causing problems in school, he was yanked out of school and actually sent away from home to be in a military academy at the age of 11 or 12. I think this really affected him, and it taught him that being tough and being hyper-competitive and being aggressive, which were all traits that were rewarded at the military academy, is the way to respond to life. And certainly he wasn't treated in a caring way. He couldn't even call his family on weekends from there. So I do think the seeds of what we see today were planted back then.
What was the strangest moment in the interviews you did with him?
The strangest moment was when I asked him about his deferments during the Vietnam era. This is a guy who talks big about fighting everybody, and he wants to send troops into Syria and surround the oil fields in Iraq and take all the oil. Very, very aggressive. But somehow, even though he was qualified to be drafted, he didn't serve. And for a while, it was said by him that it was a matter of timing because the draft lottery went into place as he became eligible and he got a very high number and thus wasn't drafted. But in fact, that's not what happened. He had deferments based on some physical problem. His draft record doesn't say what the problem was specifically, so I confronted him on this and he whips off his very expensive shoes to show me his very expensive socks and to point to little bumps on his Achilles tendon. And he said, I have bone spurs, heel spurs, and I couldn't be drafted because of that. Now, I didn't see anything significant, and I'm not sure that you wouldn't be able to serve for sure if you had some minor defect in your foot. He played lots of golf and other sports throughout his life, so he manages to walk.
And he was a big disco dancer, so...
Sure, but somehow he didn't have to serve. And I found it very strange. You know, it's one of those moments that you don't think is really happening, and then it happens. And can you imagine anybody else doing this? I don't think so.
I haven't had that one happen.
No.
I've had people tell me to put my feet on the floor, like when interviewing, like the spiritual leader of Hezbollah. You know, you don't cross your legs because showing the bottom of the foot is bad. But that's as close as I've come. So, wow. My guest is Michael D'Antonio, an author who's been on the show a number of times. His new book is Never Enough: Donald Trump and the Pursuit of Success. So, I'm curious. You know, Michael, right now, as we speak, you know, today, the big news about Donald Trump in today's paper is he and the Pope getting into it. You wrote a book about the Catholic Church and the child sex abuse scandal. So you've looked at the Catholic Church very closely. What's your reaction to this latest group that Trump seems to be eager to make mad at him?
Well, I'm not surprised by either side. You know, Donald is someone who could complain about John McCain's military service and say that he wasn't heroic. He's the only person who could do that. And so then the Pope comes up and he decides he's going to complain about the Pope going to Mexico. His rule is that he's always going to strike back 10 times harder if someone hits him. And he claims in his conversations with me to never take the first swing. But in this case, he did. He was offended by the fact that the Pope was going to go to Mexico, a country that's 83% Catholic. Somehow this was a bad thing because Donald wants to build a wall to keep all Mexicans on one side and Americans on the other. The Pope then goes there. He visits the border and on his plane home is asked about Trump, and he says that he thinks that a person who's always focused on building walls and not building bridges is not a Christian. Well, of course, this was the opening that Donald needed. Someone's questioning his religious faith. He then takes after the Pope and says the Pope is a pawn of the Mexican government and obviously political. Now there's a little back and forth. the thing that I think is important to realize is that the Pope is as transformational figure in the church as Donald is in the Republican Party. He's shaking things up. He says what he believes. He was asked about homosexuality, and his answer was, "Who am I to judge?"
Right. That's a revolution in the world of the Catholic Church.
It is. He's asked about contraception and the Zika virus, and he suggests that maybe it's okay to prevent illness to use contraception. This is another earth-shaking statement. So he's as outspoken as Donald, and he's as devoted to the cause of refugees and the poor as Donald is devoted to his bank account. So I wouldn't expect either one of them to back off.
Wow. So I'm curious, you know, Michael, I know you hang out in a lot of bars, what's your equivalent of the bar stool, elevator speech when somebody sitting next to you in a bar says, man, I love that Trump, I'm voting for him. And what do you think, pal? What's your answer?
My answer is I know the guy, and I think he'd be the worst person to take the Oval Office in probably all of American history. So you might find him entertaining, but it's not going to be so much fun if he's in the White House.
Michael D'Antonio, his new book is Never Enough, Donald Trump and the Pursuit of Success. Michael, thank you so much for being available.
My pleasure.